Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this snowy day in Denver, Colorado, welcome to Call to Freedom. This is hot cocoa day. It really is. If you're home and if you're warm, go get some hot cocoa. How I make hot cocoa, I used to do the whole spiel, you know, the dark chocolate into the milk and boil it on the stove, or cook it until it's at the boiling point on the stove. But now I just heat the milk in the microwave, and what I do is I take Ovaltine, powdered Ovaltine. It's just got a good flavor in it. And when you get two or three little teaspoon scoops in a cup, and then put those little miniature marshmallows on top. I hope you're getting hungry for hot cocoa. I remember when we were young, the neighbor kids would bring over a whole jar. It used to be in a glass jar of Ovaltine, and we used to eat that stuff right out of the jar, no milk or anything. I don't know how we could handle it. But you know, kids, oh, it was a blessing. Since Jesus lives within us, the care we show to others is a reflection of his love, and the blessings we bring are an extension of who he is. That is so true. I'm going to be talking about you planting your seeds into other people. It's a wonderful idea from God. It's a creative idea from God. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And I just like to tell you that previous programs, especially those Wednesday programs with Kimberly, if you would like to hear them again, go to freedomstreet.org and click on radio. And you can also download an app to listen to KLTT anytime, a KLTT radio app. I am so grateful that I can come to you live every day except Friday. It's a blessing to be able to let you know what's going on in this world so you can be prayed up on current events. And every month that I send out an express, I have something about our country on page two, either people that have made a difference or some of the things that are going on in the government. So if you would like to get a Freedom Street Express newsletter, it's only four pages and not a whole lot of advertising at all, just on the back page. You can call me after the show at 1-866-917-7256. It's always a pleasure to be able to send those out to you. Our memory verse for this week is Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See, when you meditate, you're reading the word, okay, every morning, okay, every morning, and you're meditating on that word. You're just not reading it like a novel. You're meditating on those verses that you're reading. Well, what you're saying is what you're meditating on from your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Yeah, it's going to eventually come out of your mouth, come up out of your heart and into your mouth. And you're going to be even changing the language that you used to speak. Yes, you are. You're going to do that. I'm going to prophesy over some of you. Here is Psalm 19, verse 14 from the Message. In fact, I want to read the whole chapter of Psalm 19. This is so beautiful. Now, the Message has been out for a long time. Eugene Peterson did that translation, and it went over for a while, but it didn't last. Like, the Passion is really being purchased by so many people today. But the message of Psalm 19 is God's glory is on tour in the skies, God's creation on exhibit across the horizon. Now, the glory of God, he declares his glory from the King James Version. But I love this, a new take on it. The day holds classes every morning and the night lectures each evening. Their words aren't heard, their voices aren't recorded, but oh, their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. Verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 19, God makes a huge dome for the sun, a super dome. The morning sun's a new husband leaping from his honeymoon bed. The day-breaking sun, an athlete racing to the tape. That's how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset, melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. Whoa, this is such a good description. It reminds me of Job, how God vaults across the skies from sunrise, melting ice and bringing heat to the earth. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The direction of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. God's reputation is forever and ever good. He's a good God. I say that to him often. God, you're a good God. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. God's word is better than a diamond set between emeralds. You'll like it better than strawberries in spring, better than red, ripe strawberries. There's more. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how will we find our way? Or how when we play the fool? Clean the slate, Lord God, so we can start the day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sun-washed, scrubbed clean of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar, O God, my altar rock, God, priest of my altar. Oh, every day his mercies are new. It reminds me of Lamentations 3:21. Great is your faithfulness, O God. I am going to order a message, a whole message translation. I need that in my home. I Google quite a lot for the message, but it is so good, so descriptive. It's almost on the same level of as the Passion, although the Passion just is in its description of so many things that we go through every day. It's just remarkable. My confession for today by Rick Renner. I boldly declare by faith that my spiritual life is my number one priority. It's not your body. It's not educating your mind. It's growing in your spirit. I pay attention to my walk with God, and I do everything I can do to make sure my spiritual life is alive, growing, and constantly reaching out for more of the Lord. Constantly growing and reaching out for more of the Lord. I am sensitive to God's Spirit. He is my best friend. I am attuned to his word, and I make sure that I make reading and studying the word a priority in my day. As a result of putting my own spiritual life first, I am filled with enough power and love to adequately serve the needs of those who are around me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Wow, that is so full of powerful things that we need to do every day, drawing closer to him, studying and reading the word, making it a priority so our spiritual man grows. I get sad when I think there are some of you listening that your spirit man is all shriveled up. Yeah, all shriveled up and atrophied, and you don't feed it. And I am praying today that you will begin to get a sense that you need to do more to your spirit man inside of you. That's where Holy Spirit lives. And I pray that you will begin to have creative ways to redecorate your spirit, to remodel your spirit and make it a beautiful place for Holy Spirit in your life. Praise God. Well, yesterday I talked to you about your seed that you give into the kingdom. Planting that seed and expecting a harvest has everything to do with your faith walk and how you treat or respect the seed you have planted. It is a blessed seed, and you must treat it as an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. It is God who provides seed for sowing and bread for food. You've heard that before. It's 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10, and it tells us that a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I remember when Dad would harvest, he would keep some of the seeds in the granary in our yard for the next spring planting. He was not a scrimpy or stingy planter, farmer. He planted good seed in good soil. He really did that soil, plowed it, and he planted it, and he disked it. He disked the ground so that it would be accepting of all the seed that he planted. I want each of you, now this is part of 2 Corinthians 9, and it's 7. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Oh, I've been in those services where this evangelist just goes overboard in twisting your arm that you need to give, and sentence after sentence until you go, I give up, I will give. Just this morning, I got a call from a person that said, Representative so-and-so, I don't even know who it is, needs your dollars. And I said, I never give anything over the phone. Well, this would be just a pledge. I never give a pledge or any money over the phone. I don't even know you. And then there was a click on the other end. I know some of you just delete the call. You don't answer and you delete the call. But I enjoy talking to people sometimes, wondering what their motivations are. Oh, going on. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. That's verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. And this most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which multiplies into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. The end result is thanksgiving, friend. It truly is, because when you know, you realize that you're receiving what you gave years ago and it's coming back multiplied, then you're going to say, Father God, thank you. Thank you so much. Paul must have been excited as Holy Spirit told him what to write. In just the chapter before he wrote, in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, he wrote, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Ah! Jesus became poor. He became a human being, in order that you might become rich through the freedom that he provided for you. Paul had received revelation from above that when you give with a heart of generosity, that there would be no needs in the body of Christ, and thank God for the abundance which he has lavished upon you, and you will be fully supplied and satisfied. That's what he wants for the body. No needs. No needs in the body of Christ. I believe that's what Ephesians 3:14 through 21 is all about. When you see people's needs being met, you will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, because you know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. You just saw that Jesus became poor so that you might become rich in the kingdom of God. And then it goes on to say in Ephesians 3, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or think, according to the power that works within you, to him be glory in the church. See, this is in your giving. you're giving seeds. You're giving seeds of kindness to people. You're giving seeds of provision to people. You're giving seeds of financial support. You're giving seeds of bringing people into your home for Bible studies. You're giving seeds. Your whole body is a seed. It really is. When we think of seed, we usually think of money. But the seed that you have in you, just because you're you, created in God's image, is a seed that is extraordinary in every way. Did you know that your thoughts are there to bring forth desired behavior, conduct, and creativity? These thoughts that you have, now that you're getting rid of all the junk the enemy tries to put in your mind, now your mind is going to work with imaginations from Holy Spirit. That's the way it's supposed to operate. Let me give you an example. I knew a man who had dreams of doing something great in the kingdom of God, and he had a gift of giving. He wanted to give millions into the kingdom of God. And that dream came in the form of manufacturing and providing transportation that delivers glass safely to your home. It doesn't break as much. And he became wealthy. He was very successful and became a millionaire. But in his effort to give, the responsibility of having so many material things, he forgot his dream. And he lost the creativity and energy that God gave him in the first place. When you don't challenge your thoughts, you become of a non-creative mode. When you don't allow Holy Spirit to speak to you and have new ideas that you can work on, the dreams you used to have slowly disappear until all you think you can do is to get up in the morning and go through the regular schedule of the day. And it's morning, you get up and you go to work and you come home and you eat and you go to sleep. And the next morning you get up, you get dressed, you go to work and you go to have dinner, you go to sleep. And the next morning you get up. Oh, there's more to that, friend, than that. There is no excitement or energy in that kind of existence. And I believe the enemy has brought thoughts to the point of uselessness to many people, many Christians, who, if they have the mind of Christ, just think of it. He created this world. If you have in you the mind of Christ, what you can do for God, and yet we give up. And we hold court and we say, it's too hard. It's too hard. I can't do this. I can't do this any longer. And you give up and you allow the enemy to take over. Not only your thought life, but your words again. Remember when you were in your early 20s and you had dreams of doing something great, being a doctor, being a professor, being successful in the business world. Some people, you know, for some people, their thoughts just have gone to seed. But your thoughts can be rejuvenated by the Word of God coming alive again. The seed that you contain in your life is anything that improves and benefits another. Even showing up at work on time is a seed that will grow until you never again have to make a valiant effort to get to work on time. And then your employer doesn't have to bug you. You know, if you don't get to work on time one more time, you're out of here. See, you're going to be able to make that effort. It will have developed into a joy to get up earlier and get to work on time. Anything that you can do to make life easier for your boss or anyone else is a seed. A seed. Your seed is any gift, skill, or talent that God has provided for you to sow into the lives of others around you. It's so important that you know that. An example of a person who sowed into another person's life and that seed became the element that took care of that family, I believe, for the rest of their life, is found in 1 Kings 17. Elijah was being fed by the ravens, and he had water from the brook Cherith until it dried up and the ravens quit coming. So God told him, change in venue here. We got to do something different. There's a widow in Zarephath I want you to go and see, and she will provide food for you. Well, when he arrived at the scene, it was dismal and tragic. She was gathering sticks to make a fire to fix the last two pancakes or biscuits, whatever you want to call them, for her and her son. And Elijah spoke boldly to her to plant a seed and give him some of her food. A seed. Wow. To give him food before she and her son had food. Would you do it? what great faith. I mean, she did. She could have said, okay, she could have said, every one of you preachers are always trying to get my biscuits. You know, I get 10 letters a week. Now, this is you now. I get 10 letters a week from television preachers wanting my biscuits. Now, I don't mean to be trite, but that's what's happened to some of you listening. When God tells you to plant a seed into a ministry, you're saying words almost like the widow with her biscuit, her pancake. I love, she only had a little flour and a little oil, and flour and oil can make really good biscuits. Or as my mom gave us every morning, and as I gave Kimberly and Dana almost every morning, and they loved it. And they, as they taught their children to love these flat pancakes that were made from flour and milk and a little salt and a little butter, and poof, put it in the pan, and you have a beautiful pancake that looks like a crepe, and you can roll it with strawberries inside or honey. Oh, delicious, delicious. So they did have a feast, and you know what? They kept having that feast. Yep, they did. It did not, that oil and the flour did not delete. I love it. You know, it's important that you know that what you do with your seed, it's important that you make sure that you use the seed that God has given to you. David wrote in Psalm 37, 25 through 26, I was once young, but now I am old. And not once have I found a lover of God forsaken by him, nor have any of their children gone hungry. It's because they were planting seeds in the kingdom of God. Yes, I found the godly ones can be the generous ones who give freely to others. Their children are blessed and become a blessing. Oh, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Here's Dallas Home.
Oh, I know you may get weary, and the times they may get rough. You may not have all you want, but you'll always have enough. And when your darkest hour comes, just remember what I say. I've never seen the just hold on a little longer. Answers soon to come. The endless waiting's almost over. The victory's almost won. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, for their seed begging for bread. I've never seen the
righteous forsaken.
I've never seen the
righteous forsaken.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken. For the seed begging for.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you may hear Holy Spirit tell you to help you sow the seed you possess and are willing to give. Holy Spirit will tell you when to give. Not long ago, when Tony and Rosa were given property in Peru for a church because there was no church for the people in the villages, I had a precious power partner. Oh, he has a gift of giving. He gave $30,000 himself. $30,000 for the building of the new church. It was an extravagant gift, and God used it to give Tony and Rosa a beautiful, lovely church in Peru, 5,000 miles away, where they can praise and worship God. Oh, friend, your seed can be multiplied and multiplied. And if Holy Spirit is telling you today to give, you give. You give freely because, oh, it's so much better to give than to receive. God bless you and keep you. Stay warm and have that cup of hot cocoa. God bless you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.